Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions Radio Broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. And I praise God that you have joined me on the broadcast for today's message entitled The Book of Ezra from the Apocrypha. We're going to talk about some scriptures in there, and we're going to go, of course, to the Holy Bible, which these books came out of the Holy Bible. We're going to get into a little bit of conversation about that, discussion about that. And so we're just going to get into the Word of God and let Him have His way in us. And we are also going to allow the Holy Spirit to minister grace through prayer. We're definitely going to get into prayer first. And we also are going to look at a scripture in Psalms, Genesis, and again, 2 Ezra. We're going to go to 2 Ezra. So bear with me here. As always, this is a live broadcast, and I want to stream it live. So we're going to listen to a little bit of Tasha Khan. You know my name. The Lord knows our name. So we're going to look at that as we, let's get here. We're going to listen at that as we go ahead and stream these broadcasts live so that we can have others that want to participate to be a part of the broadcast. So let's stream it live on some of the platforms we have here. Pray you all are having a blessed day today. And I pray that you all woke up with the goodness, the favor, the mercy, the peace of God. It's so important that we make sure we have the peace of God. And the only way we can do that is if we stay in the presence of God. You know, sometimes you can have anxiety. We get a little bit of anxiety sometimes. And, you know, you just, it's just there. You don't have to do nothing for anxiety and those little things to come on you. They just try to come on you, you know, because we're in this flesh. However, The Spirit of the Lord can lift that when we stay in His presence and in the Word. Okay, you LinkedIn family linkies, I just shared the broadcast with you. And I'm sorry I have to do it this way, because once you mess the live tab, of course, you go live within, like, I think 10 seconds or 20 seconds. And it's really not enough time for me to seeing the broadcast once it goes live. But nevertheless, we're getting it done. Also, let's do it right here. We're also going to stream it on our Facebook page live. We're going to do it on there as well. Okay. And you Linky family, it's already up there. We're going to reshare that. Amen. God is our friend. I have a little typo in one of the broadcasts up there, so we're going to edit that. Just bear with me. It's going to be a very wonderful broadcast. We're going to understand the truth of God's Word. Amen.
So now I pour out my heart to you. Hear it, your presence, I am in you.
While we're waiting and streaming live these broadcasts, get some of your friends on the line. Ask them to be a part of the broadcast. This is going to be very interesting. God is going to speak to us. Even though we're going to be talking about, of course, biblical history, apocalyptic scriptures, it's just going to be a blessing for all of us, praise the Lord. because we're going to also understand what God is doing in these last days. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be enlightened on what he's doing in these last days. So we almost finished. Just bear with me. You can worship while we're waiting. Praise the Lord.
That I am your own. Oh, Lord, you know me, and I trust you with my life, yeah. No one can bring me
down. No battle. He holds our hands, praise the Lord.
With me, with your power, because you've got me, no
lie. The giant can't defeat me, but he holds our hands. I pray y'all had a blessed weekend with your families and friends and worship and got some good rest and ready for the week. It's the time the Lord calls us to rest. Hallelujah. We always have to enter into that presence of God of rest. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now here we go. We're going to start it over again here. Now, my LinkedIn family, I'm getting ready to share it again. If you all are out there, many of you are supporting the ministry and listening to the broadcast, and we do appreciate that, the way the Lord is going forth. And that's what it's all about, for God to get his glory. So we just want to do what the Lord has called us to do. Song by Tasha Cobb. Beautiful song. We thank the Lord for that worship, bringing us into this place while we are preparing on the broadcast right now. So we're going to go ahead on and get into scripture and let the Lord just have his way. We're going to go through prayer right now first. So those of you on the broadcast, just join us in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together once more and again with the listening audience, God. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, Lord, all that you are, all that you are doing. Father, we appreciate you. We love you so much today. Thank you for giving us life and life more abundantly. And thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your favor. The Bible says that you promised to follow us out all throughout our lives, all the days of our lives, God, that we will be able to Live in your presence. Have the light of countenance to shine upon us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We know that without you, we are nothing. But with you, Lord God, we can do all things, Lord. It's because of you, Lord, that we live, we move, we have our being. And the blessings that are upon our lives, God, we know that it's because of you. We thank you, Lord God, that your divine spirit, Lord God, has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, Lord. So we honor you today, God, and ask that you will fill our hearts with your spirit, God, and give us the joy of your spirit that is our strength every day, God. Every day, God, we know that our strength lies in you, Lord, and that without you, we can do nothing, Lord. But with you, we can do all things. Lord, we pray for those that are heavy laden, Lord, those that are burdened today, God. We ask, God, that you would just give them the strength they need to overcome, Lord. And, Father God, strengthen them, Lord, in every area of their lives, where they can have the strength they need to overcome, to be victorious, God, in those situations that they may be dealing with on their jobs. They may be dealing with sickness in their bodies. Father, we're just asking that you will just intervene by your divine power, with your divine spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And let them know, Lord, that you're well able to do exceedingly and abundantly in their lives, according, Lord God, to the power that works in them, Lord. And we know that that power is faith, Lord, is believing, is hoping in you, Lord, and depending on you, God. So we say thank you, Jesus. We honor you today, and we give you the glory. May your word go forth and heal our hearts and give us strength, God, and keep us going and bless us, Lord God, to understand your word more, that we may have peace and give us understanding of what's going on around us in our lives, God. We say thank you, Lord. You're well able to do all of the things that we need you to do in our lives, God. So we don't deny any of the blessings and the promises and the miracles that you're able to do, God. We receive it. We receive it, God. Hallelujah. Because your word declares, God, that you can do all things and that there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. So we just enter into that place of rest, Lord. You said that Israel did not enter the promise, Lord. They did not obtain the promise because they did not enter into your rest. So, Father, let us enter into your rest. Hallelujah. And give us great peace. Your word declared that great peace have they that love your laws. So, God, we thank you for your laws, your statutes, and the word you've given us, God, that we're able, Lord, to lay hold to eternal life. We're able to press forward, God, every day, God. We're able to just enter more into your presence. Draw us closer unto you, Jesus, that we may walk by faith and not by sight, and wholeheartedly leaning and depending on you, Jesus, and covering our families in your blood, our friends, everyone that's connected to us, Father. Let the prayers of the righteous avail much. Let it prevail past the principalities, Lord. Shoot us far past principalities, powers, wickedness, and high places, God. Shoot us far past it, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Father God, we know that we are already sitting in heavenly places with you, Christ Jesus. We're joint heirs with you, Lord. We thank you that we're joint heirs and that we are walking in the spirit with you, Father. Hallelujah. You're sending out angels on our behalf. You're dispatching them all around us. Your spirit is covering the earth, God. Your spirit is ruling in the affairs of men in high places, in our government, Lord God, in nations. You're ruling in nations, Lord. You're ruling in the hearts of men, God. In the name of Jesus, you're ruling, God. You're bringing down high places, principalities. You're bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. You're casting down every evil imagination, God. Father, you're doing these things for us in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We exalt you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for calling us to this place and awakening us and opening up our eyes of understanding to your word, that we may walk in truth and have understanding of what you're doing. For you said in your word, and all of our getting understanding. So, Lord, we come before your presence and handle the word of God delicately, Lord, that we may understand, Lord, your word, your precept, your statutes, Lord, and make them applicable to our lives. Father, we say thank you, God, and we surrender ourselves more and more unto you, God, that you would just have mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy, Lord. We can cry for mercy, because mercy triumphs over judgment. And Father, we have no desire, as you have no desire, that the wicked perish. But Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your mercy triumphs over judgment. Let us live in the realm of the Spirit, God, of goodness and peace and favor and mercy, God. And help us, Lord God, to continue to humble ourselves under your mighty hand, that in due time, God, you will exalt us, Lord, to the place that you have called us to, God. Give us what we need, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit guide us in the word. Father, put what you want in our hearts and minds to say, and bless your people, God, that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We thank you and honor you, and give you the glory, for God is the kingdom, the power, and glory, and the dominion, in Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. Thank you so much for being with me while I was streaming those broadcasts live. And we're going to go ahead on and get in scripture. We won't delay it any longer. Thank you again for your patience. We're going to be talking about the book of Ezra in the Apocrypha. Many of us know that the Apocrypha, of course, was pretty much eliminated by some people from being out of the Bible. And, you know, when we're younger in the Lord and we own milk and we haven't yet learned a lot of the scriptures and we haven't been seasoned in the word and we're still growing in our faith, you know, I don't know how many, you know, years each one of you all have been walking with the Lord, but as the Bible says, the race is not given to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but it's to the one that endures to the end. However, I said all of that to say that a lot of time when you're on the milk of the Word of God, you're learning and you're trying to understand what the Lord is saying and what he wants you to do. But as it relates to the Apocrypha, I remember being in Bible college and there was a question that was posed in a debate session whether the books of the Bible, that lost books, again, like the Apocrypha, the Dead Sea Scrolls and things like that, should they have been included in the Bible? And there was a discussion of that. And a lot of times we feel that a volume, the Bible says, Jesus said he come in the volume of the book, lo is me, it is written of me. He comes in the volume of the book. So you think about a volume is a set of books, of course, and once that volume is together, you don't add anything to it, you don't take away anything from it. And so when we have the Holy Bible, we believe that it is, of course, it is the inerrant word of God. It doesn't have any errors, and it is the is infallible, and there is nothing that can debunk the word of God, the Bible. However, when you think about the Apocrypha, that book was taken out of the Bible. Those books were taken out of the Bible. And so that's why I wanted just to briefly say that to get to 2 Ezra 6 and 9, because there are many on the broadcast, as myself was in the past, that you never really took the time to read the Apocrypha and to get all of the, understand the other scriptures that were in there that were taken out, that were hidden. So you need to understand, you need to go get an Apocrypha, the beginning, the King James Version, if you have it, of course, was established in 1623. It's 1623, and that's when the Apocrypha was taken out of the Bible. Now, we know King James, of course, was the one that wrote the Holy Bible that we have of the King James Version, and, of course, some theologians have 1611. So it's in that vicinity of that range between 1611 and 1623 that the Apocrypha was taken out. So now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to get your Bibles and pin your fingers to Psalm. Well, let's go to Genesis first. Genesis 25:21. So you put your fingers on Genesis 25:21. You're going to go there. Now, many of you, if you don't have the Apocrypha, then you can't go to 2 Ezra 6 and 9 in the Apocrypha. So let's start at 2 Ezra. Actually, you can Google it. If you want to follow along, I can wait for a second. You can Google 2 Ezra. That's E-S-D-R-A-S. And that's why we had to reshare the broadcast, because there was a typo on leaving out one of the letters. So I'll wait for you to get that. 2 Ezra. E-S-D-R-A-S. And it goes to 2 Ezra, and you're going to go to chapter 6, verse 9. And I'm going to start right there. It says, now Esau is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. Esau is the end of this age, and Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. Now, that means something. Now, we know about the story. Got your Bibles at Genesis 25. Remember, I said we're going to go there. Now, that means something. So we have to go back to Genesis chapter 25 to really understand who is Esau. And if you was keeping up with me on the other broadcast, I had mentioned to you that the Bible, with God, he deals with nations of people. So when you see names in the Bible, they come from a nation. What is their nation? Who is their nation of people that they belong to? There were nations of the Amorites. There were nations of the Assyrians, there were nations of the Babylonians, there were nations of God's people, Israel, Judah, and there were nations of the Edomites. So we have to get into Scripture to understand these various nations that God is describing in Scripture. And when you get into the nations and understanding these nations of names, the Edomite, Israel, Assyrians, you know, then you have to narrow it down to who are the people of these nations. And that's what a lot of our churches in past history, they didn't teach us who was who in the Bible. Everybody just painted a picture of everybody being white, if you will. You look at all of the movies on TV. You look at books that you get from colleges and, you know, when they're describing angels and even with the pictorial Jesus, everything always is white. And just prepare yourself and put your seatbelt on because, you know, when God speaks a word, he comes with truth. He doesn't hide. He doesn't pull back or relent because people may feel some kind of way. God doesn't do that. He's a God of truth. And so when Esau, we see Esau in the book of Genesis, we know that that's the Edomite nation, which is referring to more of the Caucasian nations, which, you know, wherever they are in the United States or Russia or Europe, wherever they are, the Edomite nation are mostly, they are 80% of the, to me, I said 80% in describing it, of the pale-skinned people. Now, we don't like to use the term white and black on the broadcast because we know that during slavery time, the Caucasians, you know, picked out those terms to basically discriminate upon the blacks of being of the darker color, meaning darker color being like significant unto something degrading. Whereas when they use the white term, they wanted to use the white term. Some Caucasians wanted to use the term white, the ones that came up with it, to depict themselves as purer or cleaner or brighter. So, you know, we don't want to use those terms. We want to go back to use the terms that God originally referred to us as his people. If you are Israelite, you from Judah, you Judah, you're Negro. Beautiful name, Negro. We are the darker Kadesh. You know, the Bible talk about Kadar. Well, let's say Kadar, excuse me. Thinking about the promised land, Kadesh Barnea, but we're talking about Kadar, that is of that darker skin, that darker skinned nation of people, which are Negroes. So we got to have it in those terms. So we don't want to just throw out terms like African American, or we don't want to throw out terms as degrading terms. It's all kind of terms that people didn't know what to call us, our ancestors, when they came over here on the ships. You know, you let people keep changing your name. You know, our ancestors had, you know, little power over not letting people change their name because they were in their land of captivity and slavery here. So people begin to just call you what they want to call you. Color people, you know, like I say, African American, Africans. We are not Africans, you know, those of us that are Judah. African people are different from Judah. African people are different from Negroes. We are not Africans, and I want to continue to say that. So when we get over here to the book of Genesis, chapter 25, you see here, let's start verse 21, was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Like, why am I, why, what's going on with me? That's what she's basically saying. Just, you know, doing a little commentary on it, a little narrative. So in verse 22, and she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and the two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they call his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them, praise the Lord. Now, thank you for your patience. Had a little bit of interruption there. We really apologize for that. Now, we stopped it at verse 26. We went all the way down. It's going to just start to describe these two brothers in verse 27. Those of you that are still on the broadcast, we're in Genesis chapter 25. We read from verse 21, and now you just can read that and catch on up with us, follow along, because we want to stick with scriptures. There's so much I want to explain and talk about, but I really need to stick with scriptures. So verse 27 says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat from venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, let's go to verse 29. And Jacob saw potters, and Esau came from the field and was fainting, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red potter, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him and sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and potters and lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now I had to read all that, and I am going to take my time and go verse by verse pretty much as I can to explain. We see that Isaac and Rebekah had twins, and they were Esau and Jacob, and Esau was the older and Jacob was the younger. But we can see in scripture where the Bible says, see, these were two nations. These are two nations of people in her womb. Now, we're going to get back to 2 Ezra 6 and 9 because now we're getting ready. We're going to really explain what 2 Ezra in the Apocrypha. Google the Apocrypha and look up. Well, just type in. You can just type in 2 Ezra. If you're just not tuning on the broadcast, I want to catch you up to speed. Second Ezra, E-S-D-R-A-S, and we're going to do chapter 6, verse 9. And in that, the reason why we went to Genesis chapter 25, because we're getting ready to explain what Second Ezra 6 and 9 really means when it comes to Esau, that represents the end of this age, and Jacob, that represents the beginning of the age that follows. We want to explain that. And so you're talking about nations. Esau and Jacob are a nation. These are nations of people. Esau, as we say, his name was called Edomite because he sold his birthright. The Esau nation are the Edomites, which came from the line of Japheth, from Noah's three sons. And Jacob are the Negro people, the Negroes from the line of Judah. So you can look and see around in real life, these are prophetic words that are coming to pass as God deal with nations. And if you can see more than ever, here in America, the nation of Edomite are in a battle, just like they were in the womb with Jacob, Judah, which we are the Negroes, that these two brothers, Esau and Jacob, were brothers. Now, you can get into the skin color changing, and you can get into that with Cain, God marking him, and that spirit of Cain being in that nation of Esau, the Edomite. And that's how you get the different genealogy, DNA, that points to the Edomite nation of Japheth. And then you can get also the same genealogy, the ancestral history of Jesus that go back to Judah and Israel, and particularly Judah that we're talking about that goes back to Jacob, his father. And you can trace all of those lineage back all the way to Shem, Noah's son. And you will find that that is the nation of the darker race. You know, the progenitor of the darker race from Noah's son, Shem. So you're talking about two nations of people. You're talking about Esau. You're talking about Jacob in these scriptures. Now, we saw here that Rebecca had a struggle in her womb. These two nations of people were struggling in her womb, as we see here today in America with the same nations of people struggling, the Edomite nation struggling against the nation of Judah. And that, again, break it down. I'm going to keep reiterating so people can understand. You're talking about the Caucasians and the Negroes. And also in the tribe of Israel from the northern kingdom, there are the Native Americans, of course, and also the Latinos and the people that were enslaved, God's people that were enslaved by other nations. So now these two people were in the womb, and God told her in the 23rd verse, the Lord told her that two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of the people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, God is revealing here in the end times these two nations right here. Yes, a lot of stuff going on in all other nations, and yes, all these other nations are Russia, China and all these other mega power nations that are, you know, gathered together with America. They are still considered the enemies of God when you do evil. It doesn't matter what nation of you come from. If you are an evil person, you're just an evil person, but you are of that nation. You're still of that nation. And there are evil people in all nations. There are evil people in the nation of Judah. There were evil and disobedient people, in the nation of Israel. And there were evil and disobedient people in the nation of Assyria and the Edomite nation and the Amorite nation, and it's just going to go on and on and on. However, the majority of the people that are doing evil in that nation, that is who God is talking to here in these scriptures. The majority. And so now we have the New Testament where Jesus has proclaimed salvation and grace and humble yourselves and repentance and, having
Jesus, the salvation in your life of the Lord. So he gives us a way to receive him and cleanse our heart and be regenerated to a new person. But he still deals with nations. These end times in the world are leading to the judgment of nations. Now, we're also going to go to a scripture in the New Testament where God said that Esau have I hated and Jacob have I loved. So I said, well, why would God say that? Well, because there are things that the Edomite nation have done that has brought God's anger and judgment upon them. And when you're talking about God's chosen elected people of Judah and Rebekah loving Jacob, which is, you know, same line, Judah, Jacob, same people, it's just saying about how God loved his elected people that he called to be the light to the nations. Now, that doesn't mean that God, just because he loved us, that we didn't get punished and go through the hard times as well. In fact, God said that those he loved, he chastised. So when you look in here in scripture, we want to go where it says here, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. This is the same thing of what Christ is saying in Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hated. When he said, just as it is written in chapter 25 of Genesis in verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So when God said Rebekah loved Jacob, that was meaning that God gave her that spirit to love Jacob more than Esau. Why would God do that? That's his business. He can love or hate. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to love, there's a time to hate. So God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to do because he wants to prove a point because he's establishing his kingdom. He don't have to love if he doesn't want to love. He doesn't have to show mercy if he doesn't want to show mercy. Nobody has a patent on God to say you have to do it like this. You have to love that one. You have to know God hates evil. You know, so he is a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. So what the Bible says right here, the reason why God hated him pretty much, Esau, because verse 30 says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with thy same red pottage, for I am fainted. Therefore his name was called Edom, because Esau didn't value his birthright that God had given him for being the firstborn. So you can make God angry, and his judgment can, like, follow you all out through your life. So that's what we see in the Edomite nation. That's what we see, that the judgment of God that has followed the Edomite nation because of their poor choices of loving, you know, the world, loving pleasure, loving money, loving fame, and to the point that you rob, steal, and kill to keep yourself on top. And that's what Esau did here. The Edomite nation is, according to the scripture in Genesis 25 and 30, Esau sold his birthright for a pot of food to feed his flesh. He didn't value his spiritual inheritance. He didn't value the things of God. He didn't, you know, he wanted his stomach fed. You know, everybody can be hungry, but there's a time that you can kind of hold out and fast. You know, you ain't going to give up everything for the pleasure of the world. You're going to wait on the Lord. So Jacob was different from Esau. So that's why God said he hated Esau. So this is facts, that it is the Edomite nation, which of the Caucasian. So there's a great hate in the Caucasian nation that God has for different people that do evil in that nation. You're not going to still escape the wrath of God. You're not going to escape the judgment of God. So when you fast forward, we talk about Jacob again, God chastising his people, Judah and Israel. We go through a lot of punishment too. So we get back to 2 Ezra, and you see the scripture where it says again that for Esau is the end of this age. Okay, Esau is the end of this age because Esau is having it all. Esau is living it up. You know, you look at the Caucasian lives and what they did from centuries ago, enslaving people and doing evil and injustice to people, just a lot. Okay, and they get it on top. They run the United States economy, the World Trade Center with money, and they're in cahoots with all of these other nations that have money and have this and have that. Okay, they're living it up. You go in some communities in the Hollywood or even locally or whatever you are, and the people that have stolen and you didn't get your living right, you may be living in a nice house, driving a nice car, have a lot of money in the bank. You may have all of this, you know, what they call it, stocks and bonds and things like that. Okay, that's, you know, that's of the world. However, God, when he blesses people, he maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. But we're not talking about that, the blessings of the Lord. We're talking about evil gain. We talk about corrupt gain that Edomites have consumed upon their flesh about how the way they've gotten it. You rob, you hire other people that were qualified. You didn't hire the people that were rightly qualified. You hire people that was not qualified based on your prejudices and things like that. So that means that this is y'all time. This is the Caucasian time, especially we're talking about the world. If you're in Christ, then we're not talking about you. We're talking about the world, the nation of the world. If you're in Christ, you're a born-again Christian. If you're in Christ, you have a renewed mind, a renewed spirit. So we're talking about the world. Don't get it twisted that this is an individual that we're, you know, putting everybody in the same box. No, we're talking about the world. If you are of the world and you are of the Caucasian nation, the Edomite nation, then this message, yes, it's for you. It's for them. And it's also for all of us, because we need to know how we can escape the wrath and the judgment that is to come. That's why if you are from the Edomite nation, then you really need to listen to understand these scriptures to see where your nation is at this point in society. What is God saying about your nation of people? That's just like my nation of people, the Negroes. I know what God is saying about my nation of people, the Negroes. Now, when you talk about being one in Christ in the Spirit, yes, you know, we walk one in Christ in the Spirit, but that's not going to change biblical history or what God is saying is going to happen in these end times as he deal with nations of people. So if for Esau is the end of the age, that means Esau is the end of the age of their reign. And Jacob is the beginning of the age that follows. That means Jacob and all of those that are included in the tribe of Jacob, Judah, and Israel, his chosen elect from the beginning, that God chose to send the Messiah through so that we can be the light of the nation, the Negroes be the light of the nations, and show them the way. We were given the Torah first to help teach and to help people to know how to live holy, understand the word of God, obey the commandments, you know, the sacrificial system. We were given that. So now what God is saying, if Esau is the end of the age, the end of their reign is coming down, the end of the reign of oppression in America and all over the world against God's chosen elect people, the Negroes and Latinos and Native American, those that have suffered under the pressure of oppression, the end of that age. See, that's their end. For Esau is the end of this age of what God is going to do in the world. It's almost like a play, a stage play, where God set it up that way from the beginning, as we read in Genesis 25. He set the stage for what we see in Scripture, about Esau and Jacob. So you can't change history. You can't change the Bible. He set it up this way. and these books that were taken out of the Bible, you know, a lot of people don't want us to really understand and know what's going on with the Bible and the Word, because people don't want you to know and feel confident and feel blessed of who you are as God's elect people. The Negroes, Latinos, whoever have that darker genealogy from that line of Shem. A lot of people don't want you to know. And they know, but they don't want you to know. So we have to know and understand what God is saying when he's dealing with nations. We know God coming back. Yeah, we know that the Antichrist is going to rise. We know that the false prophet and all the little horn, all of the prophetic scripture that point to the end times. It's talking about in the Battle of Armageddon, and we know about the Meg and Gog and Magog. All see, these are nations of people that God is talking about, referring to in the end times. You know what it is? Let me just break it down, make it in simplicity. God is bringing retribution for the injustices that has happened, the injustice that has happened to his elect people, the Negroes, and any other nation, of course, that has suffered at the hands of any ruling nation. It doesn't have to just be the Edomite nation, or there's some other nations that's going to suffer as well because of evil. But God is dealing with this particular situation with Esau and Jacob, because having any other nation or people suffered like God's people, being in captivity 400 years, then another 400 years, and coming over here on ships, according to Deuteronomy 28:68. We're the ones. So you think God is just going to let that happen and he doesn't do anything about it? That's why it's important to teach the truth. Because when you hide the truth in unrighteousness, you're not helping anyone. You're not living the life that God wants you to live, and that's an evil spirit. When you don't teach the Word of God, when you don't teach the Bible just as it's written, how are you going to teach from Genesis to Revelation and you skip across the scriptures as it relates and deal with nations of people, and who are these people? And what are their nationality as far as what is their heritage, their genealogy, their DNA that traces all the way back to the Bible? But you leave it out because what has been going on and occurring in your nation, in this nation, America, for many years, and you don't want Negroes to know that they are the real elect, chosen people of God, the Jews, rather than those fake Jews over there in Jerusalem. If I could find another word instead of saying fake, I'll, you know, use it in the future. But right now I have to say it like that. Those fake Jews in Jerusalem, they are not the Jews of the Bible. So I have one thing I want to say, too, about Hebrew. I'm just going to jot that down. And I want to say that after I get through the scriptures that God has here for me, because, again, we just gave reference to what God is saying is going to happen. Now, when it says Jacob is the beginning of the age that follow after Esau, you know what that means? That's the reign of God's people of coming out, and he's delivering. See, when Jesus comes, yes, he's coming to get his people, but he's also coming with vengeance. He's coming with a vengeance blow. He's coming to bring judgment. He's coming to eradicate the enemies of God's people. You don't want to be in that number. You don't want to be in that number if you are of any nation that God has already said that he hates you. You don't want to be of that number. That's why Jesus came, to be able to extend mercy, grace. And he tells us how he wants our hearts to be. Our hearts have to be humble and receive the engrafted word of Christ that is able to save our souls. Our hearts have to be changed. We have to have a new mind, the mind of Christ. He's come to show people how to love. It's very important for every other nation, and definitely how to love his elected people. That's why he's coming to bring vengeance upon the world, because they've treated his elected people wrong for so long, the Negroes. And what you did to Native Americans and the slaughter of their ancestors, which that relates to Thanksgiving. And what you did in the Spanish Inquisition and even, you know, Hispanics doesn't, they're pretty much, they of course are the minority according to what the world standards are. So you did them wrong too. But more so the Negroes here in America, you did wrong. And what God said is that I did use you to punish my people. I did use you to chastise my elected people, but you forward my anger and you did it too much. So now I'm coming to bring vengeance because from day one I never liked you. I hated you because you didn't value your birthrights and you was a man that was just ungrateful. So there's some reasons why God said he hated Esau. There's some reasons. So a lot of people feel powerful that they can hide the truth. They think that they have something over you. But God is waking up his people divinely. Divinely. You don't have to teach it. You can hide it forever for yourself, from yourself. You're hiding it from yourself. Because God, when he revealed, he don't need a Bible institution to tell you the truth. He don't need individuals that people think they know it all, have it all to tell you the truth. When God get ready to tell you the truth, he'll raise up anybody, he'll connect you with any, he will put you in truth. You don't never have to worry about truth being hidden from God's people. And if it's hid for a reason. As he told Daniel, seal up the book for the end times. When God get ready to reveal something, it's going to come at the end times for a specific reason. Our ancestors that have gone on, they didn't know that they were the real Jews of the Bible. It's okay. You know, it's like the letter J that was established in the 19th century. You know, it really wasn't back way in biblical times that the letter J was established when you talk about, you know, Jesus' name. So, you know, being in our captivity and slavery in America, you know, it's almost as if, you know, people, however they interpreted the Greek to come up with this letter J. So they, in our land of captivity, we know our God is Jesus, you know. So the anointed one, you know, Christ, the Messiah, all of those names like that, God receives because his word is above his name. Because before that, the scriptures, of course, we know him as Yahushua. So, but when you think about your personal relationship with God, just like I was saying in your land of captivity, God's not going to hold you for what people have taught you that was inaccurate or they tried to hide it. You love the Lord in your heart. You're going on the glory because, first of all, it was a specific time that was going to be revealed. Long as you held on, that's why the people in the church, that's why the church, you know, the way it's gone, even though it's established under the Roman Catholicism in the way it operates, you know, everybody wants that ecclesiastical, you know, operation in church with the, you know, ceremonial things, you know, inside the church, you know, and that has its place. But, you know, God kept us even though people taught us how to do church. But see, he look at our heart because when you start reading this Bible for yourself and you draw closer to God, he knows your heart. And so he saved you based on those conditions. You got walking in love, you got peace, you want to know the Lord. He knows you. God knows all of us. So he didn't held that against our ancestors. So there's just people that he wake up to be leaders that will take it upon themselves and understand the word and teach it. The Bible saying, and all you're getting, get it understanding. And my people perish for lack of knowledge. Because once God reveals you to scriptures and open you out to scriptures, then you awaken. That's why he said, when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. When you're searching for God, eventually he'll lead you to truth. You'll be the ones that he select to awaken to the knowledge of his word. So, and it doesn't, like the scripture said, no interpretation of scripture, you know, comes from man. We can't take glory. We can't boast about, I found this scripture. I understand this scripture. You can just give God the glory that he finds you worthy enough and humble enough that he can illuminate you to understand scripture better. And not reject it just because you feel that you're knowledgeable in what you're knowledgeable about and that your understanding of scriptures, you don't need anything else. That is dangerous. I can promise you it's dangerous because when God wants to reveal something to you, we can read the Bible all the time and there's things that we, oh, I ain't never really understood that like that. You know, you can feel that way, and so it shouldn't be a pride there when God opened your understanding for Scripture. We can't take the credit. We just bearers of the word. We just vessels of the word, and we don't handle God's word incorrectly. We don't. It's very serious not to mishandle God's word. So, we're talking about these two nations, Esau and Jacob, and he sold his birthright for pottage, gave him bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat, verse 34, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So that despising his birthright that he gave Jacob has always been a vindictive attitude to get Jacob back, for he felt Jacob, you know, swindled him out of his birthright. He gave it up, you know. And don't get me wrong, Jacob was a trickster. His name means trickster, but we remember the battle he had with the angel, where he wanted the angel to bless him and change his life. And he told the angel, I'm not going to loose you until you bless me. He wanted to change life from being a trickster. Yes, Jacob. But God still blessed Jacob and changed his name from Jacob to Israel, meaning prince, having power with God. God will change your name. That's an example. That's a testimony for Esau. God will change your name. If you got things in your heart now, Esau was mad with Jacob. You look through the scripture. We can go back at other times. When they departed from their parents' house, you keep reading the story. I'm just going to narrate it for the sake of time. When Rebekah sent Jacob away, because Esau, when he found out that he deceived him from his father, blessing him on his dying bed and giving Jacob the blessing instead of Esau being the oldest of the blessing, Esau has always been after Jacob. And that's what we have here in America with Caucasians and Negroes. Always a battle between us. We're brothers. Esau and Jacob were brothers. They were relatives. They were brothers, blood. Yeah, because, you know, like the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, you know, God created all nations from one blood. So it's blood. And so it's always been this vindictive thing that Esau had against Jacob, to get them back. And so we see that in America all the way from the Bible to the day. Caucasians are the Edomites coming from Esau again, and Jacob is that nation of Judah where the Negroes came from. Our genealogy, ancestral history. So it's always that battle between, you want me to just break it down like this for the terms that you all just used to? Black and white then. You know, for some of you that maybe just tuning in, there's always that battle here with us in different parts of the world. And the Edomites have influenced other nations to do the same to us, to be towards us. So when that scripture in 2 Ezra 6:9 said that this is the end of the age for Esau, it really is. Like, it's no more power that the Edomite nation, Caucasians, can do anything else to God's people, elect people, Judah, the Negroes. It's just nothing else now. It's over. Now, this may be come to the point it's going to be a battle. And it won't just be our battle. It'll be battles of other nations against America. And the Edomite nation that is reigning in evil, that are reigning in oppression, that are reigning in unrighteousness, that are reigning in injustices in your heart. So a lot of people think it's a fun, it's a game, you know, like I said on the broadcast before, many people are boasting about the privilege that they've had as an Edomite, as a Caucasian. You boast about what your children have always had and you. But see, that's why the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and die and lose their soul? Like there are consequences after life. In this life and afterlife, if there are consequences. So that's why he calls us to repentance to humble ourselves. And now Jacob is the beginning of that age, because now God is going to allow the Judah and Israel to reign above their enemies. He's coming with judgment. We don't know what's going to happen, how God is going to do it. And many people know these scriptures, but because they say, God don't see. Oh, we've been doing it for so long and getting away with it. People really think they can get away with evil on any level, as an individual, what you do to your neighbor, your neighbors. Somebody on your job, you feel like you can do something evil to them and get away with it. That's why another scripture says, Lord, help us to number our days. We have to watch what we do to people on an individual level. And the Bible says, work out your salvation, your own salvation, with fear and trembling. The Bible is alive, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says that, you know, it divides the soul from the spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts in the heart. And nobody is perfect. That's why we have God. We ask God to work on us. That's why we pray. The Bible says that every man is right in his own sight. We all think we're right, but when it comes to this Bible and you read how God is saying that we need to walk in the light of his word, that's not an opinion. That's how God wants us to live. That's why he's given us grace to help us, because, you know, we are humans and our heart, the Bible says, you know, we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And, you know, every imagination of man in, you know, back in the flood day was continually evil. Like, people just think evil all the time. We all have thoughts that God wants us to refrain from. Let me say that again, to refrain from, to let his Holy Spirit get in us to think the thoughts of the Bible. People really strive for the masteries. That's why it's a brokenness in Christ. That's why it's a brokenness. Because we all want to be top. We all want to let others feel who we are in our flesh, in our strength, in our own power. And that is good in and of itself when God give us the word, say we can do all things with Christ strengthen us. Yeah, we have good, healthy self-esteem, and, you know, we have great power to go forth and produce change and set up business and, you know, do ministry and have confidence. All that's good in and of itself for us, but there's that balance where it doesn't lead to pride, where we, you know, tear others down or think others are less than we are, and our people are better than this one and that one. You know, God don't want us to think like that, but when you're talking about biblical history, these are facts that God's saying is coming to pass in the last days. And he has just chosen people to preach his word, to put it out there, to give people understanding, and I'm one of them. And I can't tell you the journey that I've been on for God to bring me to this place to teach this word. And my life like anybody else's life. But one thing I know, that there is a calling on my life to teach what God tells me to teach, to preach and say what he's tells me to say. That's just my life. So when you get into scriptures, you have to read it for yourself. I'm just as a vessel to put it out there. I can't stop myself if I wanted to, because this is the path that God has chosen for my life, because he wants people to understand and to be ready and have oil in your lamp. Not be like the five foolish virgins, but be like the five wise virgins, that when the bridegroom came, they had oil in their lamps. But the five foolish ones, they didn't prepare enough oil for their lamps, and they asked some of the five wise ones for some of their oil to keep their lamp burning when the bridegroom was coming. And they just strictly said, no, we won't have enough. You know, God tells us in the Bible to share, love, help, give it all. But you know what? When it comes down to your soul, you can't share your soul. God tells us to give it up, give the world up. That's why the little rich young ruler couldn't get in, because his mind was on material possessions a lot. And don't get me wrong, we all like nice things. I'm a decorator, I know. But when it comes to your soul, you can't share your soul with nobody. Those five wise virgins could not give their oil to the five foolish. Couldn't give them a drop. Had to let them go and get their own, so they left to go get it. But guess what? It was too late. By the time they came back, the door was shut. Too late. You didn't keep enough oil in your vessel. The oil of the Holy Spirit, of the Word. The oil of still flowing and praying and, you know, fasting and walking in love and getting into the Scriptures and trying to understand it again. Lord, work on me. You don't have enough oil of the Holy Spirit to keep you going, to keep changing your heart to be right before the Lord, even though it's his righteousness that's in us. But the Bible still says that we strive for the mastery. So the five wise virgins went on in with the bridegroom. You know, they went on in. So you don't share your soul. So that's why you have to get it right now. Follow these scriptures and understand these scriptures now and what God is saying in the end times. Now let's go to Psalms 147, 19, 20, and then we're going to pretty much wrap the broadcast up. Don't want to, excuse me, give too many scriptures out. Let's go to Psalms. And Psalm 147. Thank you all for bear with me. I'm learning to just stay really relaxed on the broadcast in order for God to use me, hear from the Lord, and get the scriptures out there properly, not rushing and trying to use eloquence of speech. Like Paul said, he doesn't come in eloquence of speech, but with simplicity of the word, because you got to get it out there. You get to start to trying to impress people. You know we're professional, intelligent, all that. But you get to trying to use big words to impress people, you know, God can't use you, because you're trying to impress people with your knowledge. And the Bible says knowledge puffed up, but you know what? Love edifies. So we do what we do out of love. We do what we do because we love God. We love people, and we just teach the word. Well, Psalms 147, let's look at verse 19. It says, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgment unto Israel. Verse 20, he have not dealt so with any nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known them, praise the Lord. So what this is saying, that because God chose Jacob, which is Judah, God have not dealt with any other nation like he dealt with Jacob from the line of Judah. No other nation. As far as God's judgment, no other nation knew his judgment but Jacob, Judah, his son. When you bring it on down to the lineage, the heritage, and the ancestral history, the Negro. So no other nation knew God like us. No other nation knew God like us. And that goes for the Latinos, and that goes for the Native Americans. When God gave his word, he chose us. Particularly, of course, again, Jacob. No other nation. You know, that's what he's saying here. He's distinguishing. God always make a distinguish. And we get to, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but, you know, have eternal life. When you get to those scriptures like that, that's only if when you come through the way that God has already ordained it. It doesn't eliminate his elect and chosen. It doesn't eliminate that. Because you still have to come through the way that he says. And just because God said that, it's not going to eliminate his genealogy history of who his elect people are. Again, it's like someone asked me, well, what does it matter? What's more important? Is it more, is following Jesus more important, knowing Jesus more important, or is it your ancestral history, your biblical ancestral history? I said both, because that he chose our ancestral history to send Jesus through, and it's for a reason.
And it's scriptures that's relating to what he's going to do in the end times with these other nations that has oppressed God's people. God always keep count. He always keep record. He's never asleep. We read the scripture from Isaiah on last week that woe unto them that say what? God don't see. God don't see, but retribution. There are many people that's on the other side. They've crossed over into that judgment. They're paying for it now. There are many people that are paying for what they have done to God's people right now on the other side. And I can imagine if they can come back, they would beg you. It's like, Lazarus and the rich man went to hell, and wanted Lazarus to come give him a touch of water on his tongue. God is just letting us see how our enemies are suffering, being destroyed on the other side of judgment because they didn't love, they didn't walk in faith, they didn't want to help anybody. The only thing they did was just ran after filthy lucre and riches. That's what the Bible says. Again, the scripture keeps coming. I have to say what the Holy Spirit says. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and die and lose his soul? We're supposed to be good stewards over what God has entrusted to us, not prejudice and bias and keep it all to ourselves and try to eliminate other nations of people from having it. You can't do that. We have to do what God tells us to do in building the kingdom. So that scripture that I had went to last week, of course, was in Isaiah chapter 29, where he says in verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. So there are people that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in dark. And they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? A lot of people, because God doesn't bring judgment, the Bible says, immediately they think they've gotten away. A whole nation of people think they've gotten away the way they did God's people for his affliction. They think it's just, I don't know if you're wise enough to even see the changing and the turning of time in the spirit of what God is doing here in America. I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if you can see what God is really doing in America and all over the world. Because when God says something is in, it's in. When God says something is the beginning, it's the beginning of something new he's going to do. And that situation that was past will never happen again. It can't happen no more. When God says time is up, time is up. That's why President Trump can't implement a lot of things he wants to. God set everything up just like he did. A lot of us didn't know why he's in the chair, why was voted in and things like that. But you have to step back and see the hand of the Lord. Step back and see the hand of the Lord. We're heading into these times of Jacob troubles, and we don't know how long it's going to last. So saints got to gird up, be prayed up, come from out of the world, come out of Babylon and be more spiritual, walk in the spirit. Yeah, just stay close to God. Whatever going on in your life, take it to God in prayer. Let God fix it. But whatever you do, stay connected in the spirit. Stay with the saints. Stay close to the saints. However way you're able to do that, stay close to the saints and stay in the word of God. Because we are heading into a changing of time, a changing of the gods, if you will, and perhaps a revolution. And so I just thank God for his word and his promises. Hallelujah. I just thank him for understanding his word. Praise the Lord. There's great confidence in God and his word and his promises. He that promises faithful. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about Abel's blood crying out from the grave. Hallelujah. All about the ancestors and others that have, lives were taken as, and suffered in the past, our ancestors, and even the ones crying out from the sea. Woo, the great waves, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God is bigger than the sea. Bigger and greater than any ocean, any mountain. God is greater. That's where your faith has to be, to never doubt God. No matter what you see, how it, never doubt God. We may not understand it. Hallelujah. But you can trust him. So we praise the Lord today for all of you tuning into the broadcast. The Lord has been good to us and graced us with mercy to be able to share his word. And we just bask in his presence and thank him for the wonderful things he's done. We give him all of the glory. You know, again, I have to reiterate on the broadcast, if you're offended about anything, you have to go to the Lord, because the scriptures are the scriptures. You can't do nothing with God's word, hallelujah, but submit to it. Submit to it and be blessed. So God bless you again. Until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. May you have a wonderful and blessed day. May your week be prosperous and blessed. May the Lord give you favor and increase and order your steps and give you light for your path, bless your family, and increase you in every way. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.